Now, both of today's assigned texts, the Micah text, the prophet Micah, and the Beatitudes are very familiar, which means we all understand perfectly well what they mean, right? Well, not entirely. This text that I just read from Matthew's Gospel is the account of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Luke tells a very similar story, but he places it in a different context. Luke's is the Sermon on the Plain. Well, that sounds like a really big difference, unless you've been to the Middle East. A mountain in the Middle East is not a lot different than the plains in the Middle East. They are more like hills, at least in that part. Mount Sinai is a whole other story, but in that part of the Galilee, the mountain is really just kind of a hill. These texts are both familiar, but that's not all they have in common. Both of them have a certain sense of irony. The prophet proposes, "What shall I come before the Lord? Shall I bring burnt offerings, calves, oil?" "No," says the Lord through the prophet. "I don't want any of that. Ironically, I want you to live justly, love kindness, and to walk humbly. Keep the calves, the oil, and the burnt offerings. I don't need them." In this text, there's an odd irony, isn't there? Happy, we say blessed, but another way to translate blessed in this text is happy. Happy are those who mourn. Oh, really? Oh, really? It's ironic. No matter how familiar it is, these are peculiar texts. Irony is a rhetorical or literary device in which what is expressed is often expressed by the use of words that mean the exact opposite. For example, he's a pilot who's afraid of heights. Did you hear the firehouse burned down? Or, and this is a true one, the Bible is the most frequently shoplifted book in America. These are ironic. Not sarcastic. This is more sardonic. It's when the outcome flies in the face of your expectation. You expect to be told the firemen put out the fire in Mrs. Jones' house. Not all the firemen were successful in fighting the fire at the firehouse. Or another irony, and maybe those of you on Facebook know this, when somebody puts a post up on Facebook talking about how ridiculous Facebook is. There's a certain irony to that, is there not? Irony often has an element of humor, but sometimes irony in plays or in literature or in sermons is used to point to a deeper meaning. Think of O. Henry's short story. Do you remember The Gift of the Magi? It's about a loving couple. She has long hair. He has a beautiful watch. Christmas is coming. And she, out of love for him, cuts her hair to sell it to a wig maker to buy him a watch fob. Ah, but he has sold his watch to buy her combs for her hair. There's irony in every corner of that story. So irony is the literary genre, as we say, of Jesus' Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount comes early in Jesus' ministry. He's just called the disciples. And if we read this text with great care, we know that a crowd of people have come, which is no small feat in that day and age. In Luke's account, he gives that they come from Tyre and Sidon, These are long, long walks, a day's and more walk to the Galilee. People are gathering. His reputation has begun to emerge. And then it says, Jesus gathers the disciples around him, and he begins to teach them. Jesus is teaching his disciples, not particularly the crowd, but the disciples. And some scholars refer to this as the ordination sermon to the elders. He's speaking to those who have already cast their lot with him, who have said, I intend to follow. Now, this is a big deal, this meeting. They're out on the mountain, lots and lots of people around from all kinds of places, and he teaches in this ironic, almost proverb-like statements, nine of them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn, the hungering, the merciful, the peacemakers, those who are reviled for his sake, the pure in heart. These are ironic. Blessed. Blessed are you when your whole world is coming apart. Some have said, well, these are the character traits, and this is the Christian version of the Ten Commandments given to Moses. Be peacemakers, be pure in heart. Stand up for what's right, be merciful. Well, there's no doubt that those are character traits that Jesus would embrace. But I think taken as a whole, what we see here is Jesus' preferential option for the poor. God is nearest, closest at hand to those who need God most. The brokenhearted. Maybe it's better translated, oh, blessedness. Are they who mourn? For they shall be comforted. Another sense, he is saying that what this means is this is the operational definition of what it means to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Those are the goals, these are the objectives. To stand for peace, to be pure of heart, to be kind, to be merciful, to mourn and to look to God for comfort. And yet, in another sense, Jesus is saying to his disciples, right at the beginning of their ministry, the kingdom of God is not just some future event. It is in breaking right now. And we are to be the midwives of that inbreaking. You see, irony can sometimes do and say what ordinary prose does not say as effectively. Years ago, because of people like you who put money in one great hour of sharing, I was in Santiago, Chile, where we were giving aid to families of the disappeared. Do you know this term, the disappeared? These are people who opposed authoritarian government and just disappeared. We were helping them with food and clothing, and frankly, by being around so that they themselves did not disappear. And one morning, beautiful sunny morning, much warmer than this, but a sunny day like this, I walked out of my hotel, and I was going to my meeting several blocks away, but in the little park that was right across from the hotel, there were mostly women holding pictures and walking in a circle, saying, ¿Qué hora es? What time is it? ¿Qué hora es? And then responding, Es la hora de libertad. It's the hour of freedom. What time is it? It's time for freedom. On the face of it, you see, they were just asking, do you know what time it is? But but in courage and in truth. They were saying something else. What time is it? ¿Qué hora es? Es la hora de libertad. It's the hour for freedom. You hear the irony there is more powerful than if they were simply chanting, "We want freedom." Or do you remember when Nelson Mandela came out of a prison and into a presidency, and the whole world held its breath, and many opined that there would be a great deal of black-on-white violence. And Nelson Mandela came out of a prison into a presidency and invited his tormentor, Pik Botha, to come and rule a free South Africa by his side. That's irony. Pope Francis says, it is better to translate blessed in the Beatitude as holy. Holy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Pope Francis goes on to say, Jesus in this passage is trying to help us change what we value and how we live. Whatever he was doing, it got him killed. And because it got him killed, it got us life. Now there's an irony.